welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor today...
Sing it, Bill.
Pape Machinery.
That's not singing. Oh, is this like rap? The kind where you just talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And they handle everything John Deere.
Ag and turf?
For ag and turf, yeah. No soda pop, none of that kind
Sorry.
Of stuff. So go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Did you want to interrupt me again?
No, I was trying to stop myself.
Okay. 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can reach them at 226-9226. That's on the telephone. Not the phonograph.
that was in question last week.
Yeah, I know it was.
For those of you who didn't tune in last week.
I thought
week,
I'd clear that up before we
was it Carl says, miss a week, miss a lot.
Yeah.
Miss a week, miss the jokes.
That's right. Or catch them online at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! Because they're
go.
All over the place.
Yeah.
They
are. Seriously.
They're all over the place.
They have 110 locations altogether. And
it's pretty all over the place.
Four states and five states. I can't even keep track of it. Yeah. Big company. Very good company.
Family owned. And they're actually nice to all their employees.
Yep.
And they kept really everybody working, actually,
yes,
this
did.
Year.
Yes,
so,
they did. They
you know, without
everybody employed.
They have more than 500 employees, so they weren't eligible for the Paycheck Protection Program. So they didn't take a bunch of government money to keep them employed. They actually kept them employed working.
That's right.
It's a whole new idea.
Yeah, everybody was happy.
You gotta love the agricultural industry.
Yep.
So let's see. I have.
Yeah. What else do we have?
One thing to add here. So there was a change in the television deal. We have our friend. Rick Trader has been doing a television, we'll call it a project, through the American Uncensored Network. And probably the people who listen to this show are like, finally, something uncensored that isn't, you know.
So far.
That doesn't put a virus in your computer. How about that? So you can actually see this program on KRDT Channel 23.1 Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m.
Be warned, though. I do have a face for radio.
Prepare for radio, too.
Yeah.
But actually, it all sounds the same. But, you know, the buffoonery will be available to you if you'd like it. And I actually do post the videos on the website along with the commercial-free recording of every program. So if you go to our site at wethepeopleradio.us, you can go back probably 10 years. I think it's almost 10 years. This October is 10 years. Of all sorts of topics, all sorts of shows. A lot of them are still relevant. We don't do local topics, and we try not to do things that are, you know, kind of a fly-by-night deal, you know, stuff that's just not going to be valuable for you. So we've done a bunch of shows on issues that involve veterans, a lot of shows on South Africa, and we had our latest update last week. It would be worth reviewing that program if you are interested in what's going on now with the taking down the statues and kind of this feel of this cultural revolution, because South Africa is a little bit ahead of us, but if you want to see what the future looks like if this continues, look at South Africa. China, lots of shows on China, and I believe we'll be going back for an update on China next week. Done lots of shows on political Islam, environmental craziness, because that's always available and never changes. There's never really another version of that.
They've taken kind of a back seat lately.
They have kind of a little bit. Can you imagine that? The environmental wackos are actually faded away with the other 57 genders that we don't talk about anymore.
Yeah. I read an article the other day that said the sun is actually going to go through a cooling spell. No more solar flares. And we could be cooling off. So much for global warming.
Global warming dies, and maybe Reading won't be 2 miles from the sun anymore.
No,
or
it won't
at least feel like it.
No.
Shows on national security, marijuana. If you still have people out there who think marijuana is good for you and it's a natural thing and doesn't hurt people who use it and it doesn't hurt your kids and all that good stuff, probably should tune in on the pot page. I made it really easy for you. Marijuana is kind of a long word, so we just called it pot. So there.
There you go.
Those are your options.
Yeah, I'd also like to mention Robert is doing an excellent job of editing our television show.
Yeah, Robert's just off camera making faces at us. So if you see us looking like off into the distance, if you watch the TV version, we're making faces with Robert.
Right.
Or
right.
with Sue behind the glass over there, because she can't hear, so we have to, you know, we have to use our other engineer knows sign language and we don't, so I'd say we would use sign language. We can use sign language with Sue because she speaks our kind of language, you know, the sad sign language for people who don't know it.
That's right.
Oh, all right. So today we have our two guests back, Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. They were on several weeks ago. We promised you they'd be on 2 weeks ago, and then I wound up in Missouri, so sorry about that. But this is kind of like the part two of that program, and so I just called it a deep dive into Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the Muslim Brotherhood's plans to destroy America, because mostly that's what we're talking about. So they sort of did the setup for that and didn't get into a lot of the detail because, well, they didn't want people's heads to explode. But there is a lot more information, and we wanted them to be able to share that. So how about I do their bios a little bit later on so that I don't roll us right to the first break, and let Lyle and Claire, like, kick it off a little bit.
Thank you. I'll go before my more esteemed colleague.
All right. Can you go a little bit closer to your microphone? Teensy bit.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
I said I'll go before my esteemed colleague, who's much smarter than I am. I've known her for over 12 years, and she is. But first thing first, Bill, I need to suggest that with Papray Machinery, they are really an outstanding sponsor of yours. But I want you to know that the light pole that I hit, they took care of it. They fixed it. They paid for it. I didn't think those John Deere tractors that they put me on to test drive would go that fast.
I did get an inter-office memo about that. And
I just had to say that for the air because that was part of the court agreement that I
yes.
would see. Yeah.
Robert, right, right now is dummying up a video of you driving a tractor into a telephone pole. That will show up on the television version.
They covered the cost of the light pole, and I think Papray is just outstanding to be with, and I thank them for their $1.85 every week that they send
me. We couldn't do it without them, Lyle. Let me just say that.
No, we couldn't, Bill. Bill, it's you, me, and Papray. Who
needs that's right.
Anyone else, right?
You got it.
Well, thank you guys for allowing us back on. Before I turn it over to Claire, who will carry the show, and I'll sit here and just have coffee and a bagel, we have been discussing the virtual takeover of America, or the attempted takeover of America by Black Lives Matters and et cetera groups, but basically it's communism. And what we have, in my perspective, is a communist takeover attempt of this nation, and most people cannot even get their hands wrapped around that concept, much less their brains and ideas. But when you begin to take a look at the Socialist Democrat Party, you take a look at Black Lives Matter, you look at Antifa and the other groups that are all merged together, their principles are identical, their philosophies, their belief systems and foundations are all the same. And what happens then is we have a series of groups that are coming absolutely against the foundations of this country and the principles for which we were established. So let me just set it up that way. And Claire will come in and correct anything I say.
No pressure, Claire. And let Lyle just shoot his face off, and you're going to fix
anything.
It all.
I mean, Lyle, you're 100% spot on, as usual.
This is being recorded, right? Because Claire never says. Yeah, because Claire never says I'm 100%.
Well, I might usually say 98.8%.
There you go.
100%. We're going to give him 100%. But it's absolutely true. I mean, what we are looking at on the streets is a full-on Marxist, Leninist, Maoist insurgency. And I think that a lot of folks in America may not even know what those words mean anymore.
Correct.
Partly because after the collapse of the Soviet Union back in 1991, we kind of took our eyes off of communism. We thought, well, that's done. We won. Let's move on. Peace dividend. And President Clinton proceeded to massively slash the budgets of both our intelligence and our military communities. And then, of course, we had the attacks of 9/11. In short, our attention was diverted. But communism never went away. The Soviet Union went away. The USSR went away. But communism never did. And what it was doing all of these years is burrowing into our society in every sector, but especially academia. Yes, other parts, media, government, yes. But academia especially, and I will call people's attention, I think we might have mentioned this last week, but the 1958 book called The Naked Communist by W. Cleon Skousen, quite a name, S-K-O-U-S-E-N, a former FBI agent who wanted to make it more clear and more accessible for the average American citizen to understand all that had been presented to the House on Un-American Activities. You might recall that in the early 50s, Senator Joseph McCarthy, who was an absolute hero and totally accurate in everything he said about communism in our government. But that was maybe not so accessible for the average, you know, American citizen. So Skousen wrote, he wrote widely, but this book in particular I call your attention to, The Naked Communist, and especially in it, a chapter 13. Chapter 13 lists the 45 goals of communism in the U.S., and that was 1958 this was published, and he wrote that taking the information from the testimony of these communists and former communists that had gone before Congress and these committees in years just prior. And what did they say? Well, I'm going to point you to number 17 of the 45 goals, which says, get control of the schools. Get control of the schools. That was one of the most important goals of all 45. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. That is number 17. Okay? That's happened. It's already happened. You're looking at the streets exploding now? That didn't just happen. That is the result of decades of school indoctrination in our public schools by the forces of communism and Marxism that never went away.
Isn't that special? Just what we needed, a little more communism and Marxism in our life. We're going to have to take a really quick break at this point, and then we're going to come back with our guests, Lyle and Claire.
What shall we do about them?
Hey, Claire.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
Well, 5:30 p.m. rolls around. There's a little old joint outside of town. I only got time for a couple of beers and a jukebox song ringing in my ear. The next thing you know, the bartender's pouring, shots are flowing, got me stoned, and all I really know is that I should be going, but I'm soaking up the moment.
Okay, it was just the first song I grabbed.
Yeah, there you go.
No offense intended. Got the crazy microphone today. Crazy people with a crazy microphone. So our guest, Claire Lopez, just, you know, since she could stop billing here, according to Lyle, she's the founder and president of Lopez Liberty, LLC. She's on a mission to alert and educate Americans on the range of national security threats. God knows she'll be working forever. International, as well as from the Islamic movement, Muslim Brotherhood, and collaborators among the ranks of Marxists and communists in this country. Again, wide range of opportunity there. Claire, gosh, she was on the Citizens Committee on Benghazi. She's one of our friends who's on the EMP Commission. She was an advisor to that with our guest, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who was on, I think he's on in 2 weeks. So they're pals. A lot of our pals are pals with each other. She works on a lot of things involving the Middle East. She's written books and papers on Sharia and honestly, if you look at our national security list, you will find her in there. on lots of different things. She has a BA in communications and French from Notre Dame College. Please don't speak French because we don't know how to do it. So that would be bad. And I was an English major, though, so, you know, maybe we could have dueling languages.
Well, let's stick with English, then, by all means.
Did you major in any of those, Bill? French or English?
I was into rocket propulsion in college.
Yeah. And she completed Marine Officer Candidate School in Quantico before she declined a military commission to join the CIA. So Claire's got an interesting past. And I read, I don't know, a fifth of it. I tried to skip through. And Dr. Lyle Rapacki, our $1.87 guest who's on frequently with us, he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist.
He could still have you killed if
mostly.
He didn't pay.
He's always using it. He comes on here just so he can do the behavioral analysis part. Since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature, probably only the smart ones, I'm guessing that's who you select, intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. So we have him on for a wide range of things. I think that behavioral analysis thing really kind of, you know, cuts through all the factors.
It should concern you.
He's really watching you, not me. He's watching you, not me. Okay, so now that we've dispatched with that. But okay. all of their information actually is online. So, it you know, for the people who, you know, you listen to a lot of things on radio and TV and you think, do these people actually know what they're talking about? If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, their full bios are on there. So you're actually hearing from experts.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, back to the experts.
Yep.
Off you go.
Well, Claire is the expert. I just usually carry her bags, so a lot of these programs and talk shows and speeches, and I usually sit in the back and take notes and go get her water. And
that's what I would do.
You're a brother foil.
I hope you all
realize that this is totally fabricated, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, we can fabricate
Claire.
With the best of them, Claire. That's why we're still on the.
That.
That's why we're still on the radio.
Claire made a comment that was really profound. She makes many, but she was talking about the educational system and the systematic, deliberate destruction of it in our country over the last, you know, Claire, you didn't say 30, but I'm going to say 30 to even 40 years, but 30 years, not only in grade schools, high schools, but all the way up through our universities. And this is one of the key foundational proponents of the communist movement, where Democrats, socialist Democrats, meaning the Democrat Party today is not your parents' Democrat Party. It's not the party of John Kennedy. He would be astounded. He'd be, he'd be voted out if he were part of the Democrat Party today. But the socialist Democrats, so that's what they are. They're communist-based. You have Bernie Sanders. You've got others in Congress that are communists and Muslims. Both entities you would have never thought would have reached that level in our United States Congress, but they're openly communist and they're openly Muslim, and they both openly, also being redundant here, talk about the collapse of the United States. And Claire made a really profound statement that I'm sure she'll pick up on here, because it's really fundamental to what's taking place, and that is the destruction of our educational system through a myriad of ways. But one of the foundations, and I'm reading from one of the Ten Commandments, I'm not being funny, the Democrat Party Ten Commandments, which was published October 7th, 2018. And Aaron, I can send this to you later so you can post it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But Democrats believe in taxing citizens so intensely that both parents have to earn a wage. Their public school curricula train children to revere government. Let me pause there. Train children to revere and not question government rather than parents. So we're no longer going to listen to our parents. We're to listen to the government. That's what these children who are you're now seeing marching on the streets have been brought up with, that belief system. Democrats champion sexual deviance and prepare children to indulge in their sexuality from a young age. Once again, we have a variety of reports showing that kindergartners are learning everything from oral sex to bestiality, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh my gosh.
This is in grade school. This is in kindergarten, and it's allowed because it's part of the overall breakdown of our foundational beliefs, our principles, and the breakdown of the family unit. They champion abortion at all stages of fetal development and deny the differences between the sexes to produce maximum societal confusion. When the family fails, then government can take over. Right there. When the family fails, and I've already read to you how they're setting it up so children no longer have to listen to parents. They're setting it up so the family does fall apart and is no longer a nuclear family. Therefore, the government can step in, take charge, and these people are mind-numbed to just go right along with it. What we're seeing out on the streets today, what Claire was talking about, was the taking of the Marxist-Lenin philosophy and putting it into practicality. And maybe I'm misquoting Claire, so she'll jump in. But we're seeing it come out of the blackboard, or off the blackboard, out of books. And Scalson's book is absolute mandatory reading for this day and age.
One of the things, just to back up what you're saying, I was watching one of the talking heads the other day on television, which probably was a big mistake, but there was a comment made about the coronavirus and homeschooling, and what they said was one of the benefits of the homeschooling that's going on right now because the kids can't go to class is that parents are getting a taste of what they're actually being taught in school and they don't like it. So what you're saying is spot on.
They finally have a chance to do something about it
if
they want to. Giving people some options.
Their eyes are being opened.
Which isn't all bad. Let's take a really quick break and come back and carry that thought through. You are listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who is it?
Somebody asked me by text earlier today if all these people are talking about how, you know, we're going to have another civil war. And they're like, how are we going to know who's on which team? I'm like, I don't know, jerseys, the masks versus the no masks. And I'm just thinking, maybe we should line them up by the people who like that song and the people who don't.
There you go.
If you don't like it or don't get it, you're on the other team. All right, where are we? Oh, are we back to the list?
Did we
do the whole list?
Claire was going to add.
Oh, sorry, Claire.
Had talked about the education and.
Right.
That's
so,
good, Mr. Ringer. Thank you.
I mean, that was a perfect segue in there from Lyle. And we're talking about how communism and Marxism got into our school system for these decades past in such a way that it is now bursting out into riots on the street. How'd that happen? And people think it happened all of a sudden, but it didn't. So I mentioned that goal. Of the communists way back in the 1950s already, it had been articulated and published. But let me tell you a little more specifics about how it actually happened and continues to happen to this day. I'll give you a couple of examples. Howard Zinn, Z-I-N-N, was a communist and an enormously influential author and a writer of school textbooks. The FBI thinks he was actually a member of the Communist Party. One of those books he wrote is called A People's History of the United States, written in 1980. That is throughout our school system, public school system. Another one a little bit later is called A Young People's History of the United States. That was published in 2007. That's for a lower level, like middle school or so, the first one being more like for high school, perhaps even the college level. And these books, I've got them. I have them here at my house, are horrifically skewed to give the student the impression that the United States of America, our founding fathers, the pilgrims, the settlers, our heroes, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, never mind Columbus, on to Abraham Lincoln, that they were all nothing but horrible reprobates, white privileged white men who spent their lives trying to oppress everybody else. This is what's in these textbooks. And the idea is the overall the denigration, the abasement of Western civilization. They're not just tearing down statues out there. They are tearing down the foundational principles mm-hmm. of our country on which this country was founded. So nothing remains. Here's the point. So nothing will remain in the future to remind future generations that once upon a time, as Reagan might have said, men lived in a land that was free. I can tell you a little bit more if you want to hear about what Black Lives Matter movement is doing in our schools. You want to hear about that?
Oh, please do.
All right. So this is fast forward to the current time right now. Black Lives Matter movement has an organization among its, it's a kind of an umbrella organization, as you know. It's an affiliation of groups, right? Well, one of those affiliates is called Black Lives Matter at School. I kid you not. Black Lives Matter at School. They have a website. You can find it at that name. And it has a curriculum. It has a teacher's, I guess, sort of a guide, a teacher's guide for teaching children. That curriculum already has the endorsement of the National Education Association, which is the largest teachers union in the United States. Here's the kind of thing that the National Education Association has written at its website. They're praising Black Lives Matter at School. And here's what they say, quote, "As racism and xenophobia become more prevalent and overt in our schools and communities, it is more important than ever to listen to and elevate the voices, experiences, and history of our fellow citizens and communities under attack." Communities under attack mean anything from the alphabet soup, LGBTQ, queer, whatever. And it also means anyone who is not heterosexual, anyone who is not male, anyone who's not white. That's who they're talking about. I mean, this just goes on and on. There are guides online at their website, how to talk to young children about Black Lives Matter guiding principles, indoctrinating them with Marxist ideology like intersectionality and transgenderism at the youngest ages, kindergarten. Okay, I mean, I could go on and on, but I think I've probably made you all sick enough.
No, I think what we're seeing right now out on the streets and a lot of these protests is a direct product of that.
Yes.
Well, and then they're demanding that everyone, you know, paint that on the street, that they all kowtow to it. And I think that we have a large contingent of American citizens who don't understand what the wider meaning of that is. They think it will just, buy them a pass from being called racists. So they better bow down to Black Lives Matter or else.
You know, the alligator will eat them last. That's basically what it is, because every single revolution that's ever been, the French Revolution, except our own, I don't mean to say the American Revolution, but other revolutions that were based on communist principles, okay, the Soviet, the Russian Revolution of 1917, Mao in China in the 1930s and on into the 40s. Every single one of these turned on its own before it was done.
Yeah.
Either shot them, guillotined them, sent them to the gulag. Every single one. Stalin sent his own supporters and people to the gulag in Siberia. Mao turned on his own supporters in the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. Millions and millions and millions of people died because of this.
Well, isn't that
so? They think, you know, that if they just, as you say, kowtow, you know, maybe they can be left.
Yeah, and isn't that sort of happening now? I mean, you look at some of these mayors that fell in line with them, and now they're being, you know, singled out.
Yeah, yeah. You can never, ever, you know, be faithful enough. Yuri Bisminov, you might recognize that name, was a Russian KGB officer who defected, I believe it was to Canada, but to the West, in 1978, if I remember the date right. And he spoke beautiful English and spent the rest of his life until died in 1992 or 3, trying to warn the West about what communism really was. You can find his videos on YouTube. Yuri Bisminov. Mm-hmm. And he in one of these videos, he says something about what I just said, that you know, these fellow travelers, the ones who, you know, going along to be part of it, to be cool, to be hip, to be part of the revolution. He says, they have no idea. When the revolution actually happens and the communists actually take control, they're going to be lined up against a wall and shot. And he meant that literally. And it is what happened in Cuba. It happened in Soviet Union. It happened in China.
Well, the appeasement of the mob is a fiction. You can't do it. Look at Target, and you know, for the people who think that we're just, you know, kind of talking trash, or that it happened there but it won't happen here. You look at the companies that have sent large sums of money to this movement, and they still burn down their stores. So you can't even pay for the protection like you did with the mob. I mean, the mob was a little more I don't know, honest maybe.
Well. Straightforward, anyway, about what they were about.
Yeah, I mean, at least you knew what you were getting.
It was strictly a business deal, strictly about money. It wasn't an ideology, and I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, deadly to those who got crosswise of them, of course. But it is a different thing when you're talking about an ideology like communism, Marxism, that makes true believers out of some people, and fellow travelers and useful idiots out of others.
Well, picking up on what Claire is talking about here, if I may, for a sec, really simply, when you take a look at what's gone on the last, let's say, month, 3 weeks, about the tearing down of statues, it's not about tearing down statues.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's about tearing down our civilization and collapsing the principles by which this nation was founded. When you tear down a statue of Abraham Lincoln, who was freeing the slaves, what are you really saying when you're tearing down other people who are saying that they were slave owners? So you're tearing down statues of alleged slave owners. Some we know were slave owners. But then you're tearing down statues of people who freed slaves and brought freedom. Well, there's no discrimination there. They're tearing down statues non-discriminatorily, because they're tearing down this culture, they're tearing down our civilization, in essence, they're tearing down the United States, which is really their purpose, is to collapse this nation through communists, like Claire is pointing out, the principles, the techniques of what they're doing. But the overriding goal here is to collapse the United States of America, and then any other Western governments across the world, into the new world order, into the global community. Okay.
No, well,
good job, Lyle. You wrecked the show.
Absolutely right. That is exactly what they're trying to do. even though all of the pasty-faced little soy boys on the street may not, probably do
like
not
that.
Understand any of that.
Little soy boys.
You know, they're just out there because they think they're being cool and tough, and you know they've never darkened the doorway of a single gym in their entire lifetimes. But they don't understand.
What do you really
it.
Think,
but the
Claire?
The leadership understands it, and they're using them knowingly, wittingly, and very strategically to be the shock troops, to be the street thugs, the street mobs for them. But behind the scenes are those who are really directing things, and that goes to Beijing. We can talk some more about China. And it goes to the Islamic movement and the Muslim Brotherhood in America.
That tie, I think, needs to be made a little tighter, because that's the one, the China overlap of this is, I think, becoming fairly clear for people, especially with the virus and all that kind of stuff of late. But I've been floating the Muslim Brotherhood thing lately, you know, when I talk to people, and I said, you know, you realize they're involved in this too, and people are like, what? That seems to be something people have a hard time comprehending, and they're not seeing it. So it would be cool.
It's not intuitive, right? It's not.
No, it sounds.
You automatically think, well, these things go together.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of being a hater. But let's take a really quick break. So when we come back, can you make that make sense for us?
Yeah.
So that we can go out and convince other people and be useful but not idiots. That would be awesome.
Let's try.
All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. You can join us online any old time at wethepeopleradio.us for all the archives, commercial-free. And you can catch us at 23.1 channel KRDT Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m.
Channel 26.
Sorry, Sue. Channel, no, it's 23.1.
Oh, 23.1.
Yeah, get with it, Bill.
Oh,
sorry, Sue. Can you start the music for the fourth time?
That's right. I got just one life. Aren't pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't.
Another line of demarcation. Those who still have some fight left in them. Okay, so Claire, make this Muslim Brotherhood tie make sense for people. What are they looking at that they're not seeing? Because I know it's right in front of our face, and we're not seeing it.
Well, it's not maybe so obvious for them, and I'll tell you, I get you know, a lot of what I know is because I spend a great deal of time on research, which everybody simply doesn't have the time to do. So I'm looking at a lot of online material. Everything I have is open source. It's okay. Let's go to the Brotherhood first then. So we talk about a red, black, green axis, right?
Mm-hmm.
The red, we've talked about the communists, the Marxists, the Maoists. The black being the Black Lives Matter movement. And green, we can get to, meaning the Islamic movement and the Muslim Brotherhood. So the second two are intimately connected. Begin with the green. So the Islamic movement, you might think, has a very different ideology and objectives than does communism. And you'd be right. They do. But for the moment, all of these objectives overlap. Tear down America. Create enough chaos on the street that the police are overwhelmed, delegitimized, defunded, and eventually disbanded. That's their objective. Why? Because out of the chaos that we're already seeing erupt in cities like New York, hundreds of percent increase in crime, including violent crime, murders, rapes, assaults, burglaries. Out of that chaos, each one of these elements thinks that it can be the one to grab control and impose its agenda in the aftermath. But the chaos has to come first. The breakdown has to come first. And so that's why they're all aligned right now. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood has long been associated with the Black Lives Matter movement. I'll go back 5 years. In December of 2015, two Brotherhood groups called MAS, M-A-S, Muslim American Society, and ICNA, Islamic Circle of North America, both Brotherhood, held a joint conference. Those two often do conferences together. Joint conference in Chicago, Illinois, December 2015. The executive director of Hamas in America, that's CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, that's the Hamas branch in the U.S., executive director Nihad Awad takes the stage in front of the cameras and the microphones. This is on YouTube. It's online. And he says in the lead-up, remember, December 15, lead-up to the 2016 election campaign period of the following year, he says, Black Lives Matter is our matter. He explicitly made common cause with Black Lives Matter, and that's 5 years ago. They've been working on it ever since. You've got a lot of developments more recently, I think, that are even more worrisome. You had an MAS, again, Muslim American Society, operative named Khalila Sabra, an African-American convert to Islam. Go back 5 years for her. Openly calling, at the same conference, by the way, for revolution in America. Revolution. And she meant violent revolution. She was referring back to the Muslim Brotherhood revolution across North Africa. That's what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You had Brotherhood members a lot more recently, December 2019, just six, seven months ago, again at the Mass ICNA conference. Senior Brotherhood members openly discussing on camera narratives that attacking the police for alleged brutality, racial injustice. You can see that they're all on the same page of music here. Just this year, March of 2020, and this comes from the service called Memory, Middle East Media Research Institute. They're the ones who do all the translations of speeches and sermons and things from Middle East languages like Arabic and Farsi. So this time, though, they don't have to do translation. They've got it on film. It's a Chicago imam, March 2020, this year. He is calling openly in that sermon, the Friday khutbah sermon, calling on Muslims to arm themselves against their Trump-supporting neighbors. Okay, this is happening right now.
Wow.
Let's go back overseas for a moment. And to see how this is all tied in internationally. End of June, this is just a few days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, right? End of June. And this comes to us again from Memory. Al-Qaeda called on Americans and Westerners, meaning Muslims, to revolt against, quote, unjust rulers. That was the exact same call, revolt against unjust rulers, that went out in the year 2010 that set the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda on the Islamic uprising across North Africa. The call at that time went out from the Secretary General of the Muslim Brotherhood in 2010. What followed was the Islamic uprising across North Africa that ousted Ben Ali of Tunisia, Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. Remember all that. The same call. Al-Qaeda has just done it again, and it's 2 weeks ago. Revolt against unjust rulers. They are calling on Muslims to stage a revolution.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. And then also explain the flag we've seen at some of these protests.
Which one?
Yeah, the green, red,
another,
black.
Including the Palestinian flag.
Well, the green, red, and black one, I didn't...
That's the Palestinian flag.
Right, and I didn't even think about it. That's also the African National Congress.
It could be. The configuration of the colors is distinct in each, but certainly we know that the Black Lives Matter movement is horrifically anti-Semitic. I wrote an article about this at the Front Page magazine just week or 2 weeks ago, maybe, about this very subject, the horrific anti-Semitism of the Black Lives Matter movement, which you can see for yourself if you go to the original 2016 program of the Black Lives Matter movement online. You'll have to use the Wayback Machine, but you can find it. 2016 program. It's horrifically anti-Semitic, calling Israel apartheid, genocidal. And delegations of the Black Lives Matter movement have been over to the Middle East on multiple occasions, beginning as early as I can see, about 2015, going over there to meet with Islamic jihadis. Well, is there any other kind?
Right.
To meet with jihadis of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, make common cause with Hamas in Gaza. Remember, CARE in the United States is the Hamas branch in the U.S. This is all linked. This is all linked. And to take their photos with them, to take photos with the Palestinian flag flying behind their group. They're completely linked with Jew hatred of the Islamic movement. And, well, and then what happened? End of May, that really horrific weekend of the 31st, end of May, when there was so much violence across the United States, you had rampaging mobs tearing through Jewish neighborhoods of Los Angeles, in particular the neighborhood called Fairfax of Los Angeles, California, screaming, F the Jews, spray painting horrifically awful graffiti on at least five synagogues, F the Jews, F Israel, this kind of thing. What in the world has Jew hatred got to do with George Floyd? Well, nothing. But that's because George Floyd's not the point.
Correct.
The point is to tear down America, tear down our Judeo-Christian foundations of this republic, and to do that, they have to tear down Israel.
They also...
I was going to just throw something in real quickly with what Claire just brilliantly came out with. That is one of the, we were talking about pedestals, the statutes and all that, which led into Claire sharing all this. The crisis we're looking at here, be it on the streets or spray paint or tearing down pedestals, in my perception is a moral one. And I think Claire was very clearly suggesting that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to speak for it, but I that's what I'm hearing. It's a moral one. It comes from a culture that's been raised up through three decades of our schools not teaching morality, not teaching right and wrong, and moving kids away from their parents. It comes from a culture that has developed into a society that's lost its sense of purpose. And I see these kids today, when I'm talking about kids, is really from 20 to 32 years of age marching out there doing all of this. They really don't have a sense of purpose. They're being used as useful idiots. They're being emotionally charged and manipulated, which they've been through school, because they've been manipulated into school to not think on their own, not to be self-aware, but to go along with the masses. And they are doing the same, and we're seeing this, so they're tearing down our very culture, our very principles, the foundation of this nation, because they want to deliberately end this nation as we've all known it into what Claire is also very brilliantly discussing, which is interesting to me. And Claire, I don't understand this part. Maybe you can teach it after the next break. But
we have to take a hard break here and hit the news at the top of the hour here. But we're going to come back with Lyle and Claire. We're going to hit a whole lot more of this in the next hour. We hope you stick with us. You are listening to We the People. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and we have a sponsor this hour.
What do we have for us, Bill?
Well, we have Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere turf and ag dealer. And if you need, of course, we're getting kind of out of the mowing season now. Things are turning brown. We're getting into generator season.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think you'd ever have a generator season, but we do. PG&E will be shutting our power off here pretty quick the minute the wind starts blowing.
You live out here on the West Coast.
That's right.
If you live anywhere else in the world, you just keep rolling that air conditioner.
That's right. So if you don't want your power down, stop by and see them there at Pape. They have the Honda line of generators, and they have a full supply in stock. So go and talk to them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or you give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see. You can find our show at KRDT Channel 23.1 Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. If you live in the Reading area and you are an anti-cable or a non-cable access person and you have like just a regular TV, you can catch us. If you would like to view that, that's also on the website. If you'd rather just listen, the MP3 files are free for you to listen to. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
At wethepeopleradio.us.
And it used to be Channel 26, so I just wasn't up to speed on the current change.
I know. I almost missed it, too, but we finally got that right.
So popular, they've run us down on the dial.
Well, it's the American Uncensored Network, so we probably have to keep changing the channel.
That's
like law enforcement on a sting.
So
you know,
we don't get censored.
We have to keep moving it around.
Lord knows they want to censor it. That's for sure.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roberts actually had to retitle some of our videos because they wanted to ban them from YouTube and Vimeo and whatever. What did we use? What was the word we used? Wuhan. Oh, yeah. Use the word Wuhan and you automatically get...
Oh, yeah. You get booted.
Yeah. Bad stuff happens.
That's right.
I'm sure today Islamic is going to be...
Oh, yeah. We're probably already off the air.
I was just talking to ourselves. let's see. Today is July the 12th. I forgot to do that the first part of the hour because we do replay the shows. And in case world events seem out of context, but I'm kind of guessing world events are going to stay, unfortunately, in context with what we have going on.
You don't know when you might end up in a bunker and have to listen to reruns.
Yeah, you should plan ahead. Download those MP3s.
That's right.
So our guests are Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. Dr. Lyle's pulling up the silent majority there on the other half of the line.
I'm taking notes on Claire.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm learning stuff, yeah. If it's okay with you guys, let me say something. I'm going to shift over to Claire again because she said some very profound things that I think need to be more crystallized, if I could coin a word there. I was talking about, and then she picked right up on it, that what we're seeing today by these mobs are people who are amoral. They have come from a belief system in our schools, which we've already discussed, that does not teach really right from wrong, morality. It's developed into, or it's developing a culture, if you will, a society that has lost its sense of purpose other than whatever they can get away with at the moment. And one of the basic tenets of what we've been discussing today, of the Black Lives Matter, all of these fragment organizations and communism to snare people, is to push the idea that life has no meaning beyond what each imagines life to be. So whatever you imagine life to be, whatever you imagine is right or wrong, is okay. And they've been teaching this. That goes back to transgenderism stuff in the school. Claire mentioned it. I was talking to you all about how in kindergarten they're teaching about bestiality, masturbation, all sorts of kindergarten kids. So basically, life has no meaning other than what you bring to it. And that can be transient at any given moment. Now, I want to share that at this point because I'm going to pass it over to Claire, who's going to really crystallize what she was saying right before the break, I think in conjunction with what I just laid out there, if I'm correct, Claire.
Yeah, exactly. So we were talking about the destruction of the culture, and Lyle put his finger on it precisely. I think a lot of us who are patriots tend to make the generalization sometimes that everybody thinks like we do, that there is Judeo-Christian culture and that everybody signs on to this. Well, they don't. It doesn't mean they don't have morality. They don't have our morality. But they have a morality that is based on communism, Marxism, Leninism, Maoism. They're not only nihilist, although some are. But they are also very much fixated on the establishment of a different framework of morality after they destroy ours. And I was going to bring into the conversation a friend of mine, ours, I guess, too, who I think is truly brilliant, and that is Steve Coughlin. Steve has founded an organization, you can find it online, called Unconstrained Analytics. Yeah, only Steve could come up with a name like that, right? Unconstrained Analytics is the name of the group and the website. And there he has been writing some essays going back a couple of years, several years, which are absolutely flat-out brilliant, difficult to get through and bear rereading to really grasp all the meaning. But he talks about something called the Hegelian dialectic. And that is what we're looking at playing out right now, which means the constant putting up of something to be torn down. In other words, the issue is never the issue. I'm sure you've all heard that.
Yeah.
Putting up a straw man, as it were, issue to be torn down, only such that the movement can continue forward.
Sure, like
the
racism.
The progressivism of history can move forward. Well, there is a phrase that is used within the Hegelian dialectic, and it is German, but it's exactly what Lyle was just saying. It's called Aufheben der Kultur. Aufheben der Kultur means destruction of the culture. This is intrinsic to the Hegelian dialectic, which, of course, then informed Marxism, Leninism, and everything to come.
And we've shortened that up and just call it cancel culture.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Our culture. It doesn't mean they don't have a culture.
Sure.
It means that it's something very, very different than ours.
And how, just, I mean, we'll never know because it's not something we can officially quantify, but how many of the people participating in this do you really think grasp that wider?
No. I was talking about, you know, the little, you know, 99-pound soy boy, you know, creatures out there who don't even know which bathroom to use. No.
Now that they have options.
No.
Boy, and they are out there, too. There's no such thing as manly men anymore.
Well, I'm included, of course, but you know, in the break, I was showing Lyle something that someone just sent me as we were on the show here today from Facebook. A friend of mine sent this over, and they posted a coloring page from the Black Lives Matter curriculum. We're talking about the school curriculum from Black Lives Matter. This is a coloring page for grades K through 12. I don't know which grade exactly this is for. I would guess a younger age, towards the lower end of that K through 12. This is promoted by the California Teachers Association. It comes from page 20 of this chapter called Transgender Affirming. Now, the coloring page is a picture of a thing which I think was probably born with male plumbing. I'm just making a guess at that because the creature has like a three-day-old stubble on.
Oh.
But the creature is wearing a little flowery top and a kind of a head wrap on its head. There's a nice flower in the background for the kids to color. And the words say this on the coloring book page, quote, "Everybody has the right to choose their own gender by listening to their own heart and mind. Everyone gets to choose if they are a girl or a boy or both or neither or something else, and no one else gets to choose for them." This is being shoved into the California state curriculum.
For not California.
For kids in the primary grades.
Yeah, that's...
still use coloring books. That's what this
is. And we wonder why kids are confused, you know, when we make that kind of stuff okay.
Well, I'm going to respectfully deviate just a tag here, Bill.
I think we've got all the deviation we can handle. But go ahead.
All pun intended. This is just me, myself, and I, and the voices inside my head. But I had to say that because Claire's smart, and I'm just. You know. Yeah. But I don't think they're confused. I'm being very serious for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't think they're confused. I think they are mind numb. I think what Claire just read is so profound and very insightful as to what's not only being taught in our schools, but the belief systems that's being hammered into from kindergarten on up, coupled with you don't have to listen to your parents anymore. Listen to the state. The state's all powerful, all knowing. What I think we have are people who are now 20 to 30 some odd years of age who are not so much as confused as really mind numb.
Right.
They are looking for that excitement for the moment. And 2 minutes from now, that moment will be passed. I'm trying to be really elementary here. 5 minutes from now, they're going to be looking for another excitement because that's really what they have going for them. I think their culture is robbed from them. Their educational system doesn't exist. Their ability to choose right from wrong has been taught out of them. I think what Claire has just shared is terribly profound to the psyche of an individual. They no longer know who they are. They no longer can identify with any one particular. They become self-identified, which, okay, may sound free and hooray, I'm free to choose what I want. But with that thought process goes a breakdown of not just morality, but any boundaries. And when you have literally no boundaries as a human, what you end up having is total psychological chaos. As you know, I was in private practice for 25 years doing forensic counseling and all that. And when I saw people who developed as sociopaths, or even those very few that I saw that were psychopathic, they really had no boundaries. And everything, their belief systems, their values were all broken down as children. They were sexually molested, many of them. They were beaten beyond anything you can imagine. Tortured in ways you could not imagine. Well, the same thing's happening, I'm going to say, in our school systems today verbally. And what Claire just wrote, what Claire just quoted out of, is a coloring book for little, what, 3-4-year-olds, Claire, 5-year-olds?
Well, primary grades. I would say, like, probably the one, first, second
six.
Grade, somewhere in there.
Okay, first,
maybe kindergarten.
All right, 5, 6, and 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
Okay, so what Claire was reporting there was a breakdown of humanity, a breakdown of your values, your morals, etc.
And without
and
that,
you
got...
When you break a person down completely like that, what do they have? Literally, I know this. We don't have time for this type of a show.
You're right, because we have to take a break really right now, but they can contemplate that on the break. And when we come back, we're going to pick right up with Lyle.
Yeah, because I want to continue.
Bill's going to interrupt you, Lyle.
Just
spoiler alert.
No.
We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces, cracked and dirty for their daily races, going nowhere, their tears are filling up their glasses.
So glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
There you go, Lyle, no pressure. The show that never ends.
Claire read that, which was just profound, and it really fits beautifully in what we're trying to share today. And I just sent you, Aaron, just a minute ago, reasons for homeschooling. And I apologize. This is a little, not even an article. It's just a little statement I wrote and sent out last Friday, and I did not send it to you or Claire. I just did just a minute ago. But in there I said, as I prepare to write a commentary on our failed public education system, I thought I would send you the below pictures I intend to employ as part of my commentary. I know you care most sincerely about the deliberate altering of our children into something horrible and sheep-like. The further dumbing down of students has and continues adversely for the future of our nation. When will some folks step up and say, enough? I purposefully sent the below photos to you as they depict a story most folks would rather not know, much less step up and address. I know you're not one of those folks. It is past time to think outside the box and begin addressing the national education emergency rampaging across America. Now, then, when you scroll down, you'll see, in essence, what Claire was just talking about also, and that is the story hour taking place with five-year-olds, four-year-olds. And I'm not even sure. Claire, maybe you have it by now. And Aaron, maybe you've got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, now, Claire, back me up here. I don't know what those are reading to these little kids. He's got hair on his chest and he's got hair on his beard. Now, I'm serious. Aaron, you should be having this by now. But I'm not really...
These are profoundly psychologically disturbed people who really need to be in medical care. And instead, they're in our children's story.
And Aaron, maybe for our listeners...
Oh, my, that is a picture.
Okay,
there you go, Bill.
Maybe for our listeners, because they don't have the benefit of what we're now talking about here. Maybe you could post this so our listeners can look at it.
I will. It's a large, very hairy man. I swear he always sits next to me on every airplane I've ever been on. I recognize the arms, except he's wearing evening gloves that go up to his elbow that are puce, by the way, with the orange wig that makes Al Sharpton's hair actually look quite small. And he is overflowing out of his, it looks like the 70s made a dress. And okay, we'll call it a dress. Yeah, this is actually worth checking out.
You know,
thank you.
I will post this
just to support what you're saying, Lyle. I watched.
Yeah, get me to stop talking.
Yeah, I was watching a clip the other day of one of the soy boys you were referring to being, I guess, not necessarily interviewed, but just ransacked by a New York angry mom, as only a angry New York mom could do. And she was questioning this kid face to face. I mean, just right there, kind of yelling at him a little bit, and he could not answer. And she was going after him about what he was protesting, why he was out there, why he was doing what he's doing. He had no answers, and that to me really showed what a lot of these kids know about anything. I mean, they're just out there because I guess it's the place to be, but they have no direction, they have no information, they have very little education about what they're doing, and they can't answer the simplest of questions about their cause. And it was, I mean, after I watched it, it's like, man, that is really sad. How can you go out there and put yourself in a position like that where a mother can come up and just put you in your place?
But besides the fact
that if you all have perhaps seen some of these, Mike on the Street interviews that, for example, filmmaker Ami Horowitz does with such effect. Jesse Waters has done the similar kind of thing for Fox News. And they'll go to either the demonstrations or maybe the beach or a college campus, let's say, and they'll ask the very simplest of questions. When did the Revolutionary War take place? 1984?
Yeah.
They'll ask them, from which country did the United States colonies, our original colonies, gain their independence. France? They have no idea
clue.
Of the most basic foundational facts of
and
our
and these are college
founding.
Kids.
This is really, beyond disturbing. This is tremendously alarming. If
but,
we're
it, but it makes sense of how easy it is to
like
manipulate
that.
Them. I mean,
well, right.
That
and this is where we could maybe pivot to the final element of what's on our streets, and that is China. We haven't talked much about China and how the Chinese Communist Party knows all of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They know more about our society and the fractionalized elements within it, our race difficulties, everything, than we do ourselves. They know it better than we do. And they have constructed a strategy, a plan, to exacerbate all the divisions within our society, as communists are wont to do, and to use front groups already within our society to be their proxies or their front groups. And I will name at least a couple right here. So we've talked about Black Lives Matter movement. Well, and we talked about the three founders being African-American women, Alicia Garza, Opal Tometi, and Patricia Cullors, right? But do we know their background? Where did they come from? Where did their ideology come from? Where did the group come from, really? Well, it comes from two, or more, pre-existing organizations. One was called the Freedom Road Socialist Organization. Go look that up. Freedom Road Socialist Organization, which dates back decades, literally. It's been around for decades. People just didn't know about it. It's totally Marxist-Leninist, but especially pro-Maoist, openly expressing in statements and on its website support for Mao Zedong and the revolution that he waged in China. And then from Freedom Road Socialist Organization, it kind of splintered in 1999, and breaking off from it is a group called Liberation Road, which if you go to their website now, Liberation Road, you will see that it's written in English and also in Spanish, El Camino de la Libertad, which is exactly, it gives you the definition of what they're trying to do, which is reach a broader and a disaffected audience, meaning the Hispanics. La Raza and groups like that. So that is where today's Black Lives Matter movement came from, Freedom Road Socialist Organization and also Liberation Road. Black Lives Matter also harkens back to the 1960s. I think I was telling Lyle in the in-between period there, I've been back reading some of the 1960s literature of Weather Underground and of the Black Panthers. Do people know, for example, that the Black Panthers of the 1960s, I'm talking about Bobby Seale, Stokely Carmichael, Huey P. Newton, that these guys were over to Beijing on a regular basis? They went back and forth between the United States and Beijing to confer and consult with the Chinese Communist Party of that day of the 1960s. Today's Black Lives Matter movement and its offshoots, front groups that I was talking about, are direct ideological descendants of those Black Panthers who were intricately connected to Beijing and the Communist Party of China.
Wow. And let's not forget Angela Davis was in there.
Yep.
Very
also,
active. Mm-hmm.
Very much so. She was a communist, of course. But let me mention something to you that brings us way closer to the current time. 1 year ago, May of 2019, as President Trump had decided to place additional pretty tough tariffs on Chinese goods because of their refusal to stop, abusing the trade and commerce between our countries in so many ways, including intellectual property theft and many other things. In response to that, May 2019, a news agency that's a mouthpiece of the Chinese Communist Party. It's called the Xinhua News Agency. They published an editorial, so you know that's coming directly from the Communist Party of China. And they published this editorial, of course, slamming the United States. We're fighting greed and arrogance and et cetera, et cetera. But here's the point. Here's what we need to pay attention to. The entire country, I'm quoting, quote, the entire country and all the people of China are being threatened. For us, this is a real people's war. Mark that term, people's war. It does not mean just in the context of our trade disagreements between the United States and China. A people's war is a Mao term. It comes from his time, Mao Zedong. And it's a strategy in which Maoist insurgents who were fighting at, you know, before 1949 to take control of the entire country of China, they would use unconventional warfare, asymmetrical warfare, not kinetic, not necessarily kinetic, but unconventional attrition, hearkening back to the book, the 1999 book, of course, Unrestricted Warfare, right, in which every sphere of life's activity is a sphere for warfare, academic, financial, commercial, diplomatic, obviously political, yes, military too. Biochemical is, by the way, listed directly on page 123 of Unconventional Warfare. Biochemical warfare. This is unconventional warfare. All of this, psychological warfare, is what the Xinhua News Agency meant in that op-ed of May 2019 when they declared people's war against the United States. Do we begin to see how this is all connected?
Yep.
And who's pulling the strings?
Yeah, in a super creepy sort of way. We have to take one more quick break and let people get their fire extinguishers to put their hair out because I'm sure it's all on fire. But we'll be right back with our guests, Dr. Lyle Rabacki and Claire Lopez. And they're going to send me all the links for all this stuff. So for those of you listening who didn't have a fast enough pen, we will post that all on wethepeopleradio.us.
Make a supersonic man out of you. Don't stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you wanna have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
now. Yes, I'm having a good time. I don't wanna stop at all.
That justice is one. Should always find you gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Okay.
Whenever you have a, give me a call. Yeah, we'll talk some more.
Yeah, don't let us interrupt you.
That's hey, we're talking right now.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we love inviting people to be on the show, and then we just mess with them. That's terrible.
So Claire, one thing we've not mentioned a lot is Antifa and what they're doing.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah,
that's what I think when I hear about them.
How many minutes do we have left?
Yeah. You can make
she
a good run at it
minute.
In about 10. You got 10 to...
Yeah, she can,
okay,
she can have
okay,
my
I'll
minute.
Talk really fast because I have a 100 or so page PowerPoint of which Antifa has maybe 20 of those slides.
Pages,
so let me start with that.
All right.
Okay, I'll give you Antifa.
All right.
Oh, we have dead air. Hey, let me fill in. This just came across my desk while we're on the air here. The Minnesota governor, Tim Walz,
again.
Yeah. Who, as you all remember, allowed the rioting because it was just a freedom of expression type
yeah, parade. Peaceful protesters.
Sure.
It was just, it was, you're not thinking large, Bill. You're thinking very conservatively. They were just poor, misunderstood kids who are trying to share their hearts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, these poor misunderstood, that's correct. It was the summer of love, like in Seattle. These poor misunderstood kids went ahead and burned down 1,500 buildings.
Whoa.
In Minneapolis. I have a partial report right here.
Wow, I had no idea.
And the reason I have this is because Tim Walz, the Democrat Labor Party governor, has now asked Trump for federal monies to rebuild the Twin Cities. And Trump today, that's why I'm getting this, it just came out 5-10 minutes ago, Trump turned down his request.
We're not going to rebuild it after the Summer of Love?
We're not going to rebuild after you allow them to tear it down.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Yep. Well, here, I'll dive right into Antifa then.
Yeah.
The word Antifa is actually short for anti-fascist, or anti-fascist action, and it comes originally from the German, antifascistische Aktion. And it has its roots in the Soviet Comintern of the 1920s and 30s across Europe. As we've mentioned before, the Russian Revolution took place in 1917. By the time you're getting into the 20s and 30s, you see the rise of fascism across Europe, especially Italy, Germany, Spain, places like that. And they come into direct conflict. No, Antifa is not fascist. It is communist. And on the streets of Europe, back in those decades of the 20th century, the black shirts, first in Italy, of the communists were fighting on the street against the brown shirts of Mussolini's fascists. That's one of the places it started, also in Germany, also in Spain. And they were, fighting, chains and knives and what have you. But then what happened is that the Soviet Comintern, that stands for Soviet Communist International, it's international, export wing, sent a delegation to the United States of Antifa in the 1930s. That's how long Antifa has been here. Yep. It is communist. It came to us from the Soviet Comintern. Now, they like to portray themselves as tough guys all dressed in black and black head coverings and masks and black clothing. And that's why you'll hear the term black bloc sometimes, because when you see a bunch of them on the street together, it looks like a big black blob.
Oh, and it does.
Antifa. They are the direct descendants of those communist street fighters of the 30s. They're all over the world now, certainly in the United States. They really emerged here very visibly around 2016 or so. FBI, DHS began noticing them when they could take time out from impeaching the president anyway, or staging a coup d'etat against our president.
But they've kind of been overshadowed
they had left.
They've kind of been overshadowed by BLM, which really kind of surprises me.
Yes. But they are loosely aligned. But Antifa has a whole huge network of affiliates, which if you go online or spend a lot of time on social media, for example, you can see these different groups in different places. They very openly are communist. They're Marxist. They do not make any bones about that. Their objective is literally, according to their banners and signs, become ungovernable, to bring the United States down into such chaos, as we were talking before, that law enforcement is overwhelmed, delegitimized, defunded, and disbanded. They like to pose. A lot of the Antifa kids are the little soy boys, whose 99-pound frames have never darkened the doorway of a gym anywhere in America. But they dress all up in these black clothes, and they look tough. And a lot of them are very vicious, and we've seen that on videos and on social media.
They're vicious together.
We heard in 2017 that some of them actually traveled to Syrian battlefields to train and fight with Kurdish units. John Brown gun clubs are one of their elements, and they were some of those who went over to the Middle East. What else? Here, let me bring this linkage in for you. You know who James O'Keefe is and his organization called Veritas, right? they do videos, exposés, undercover videos, and then they publish them. Well, they did one of Antifa in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, of a group there called the Rose City Antifa Group. And they got undercover video for a while by a guy who's no longer affiliated with them, but he came out and he did in shadow interviews with James O'Keefe and Veritas. And in one of these videos, he's walking through the hallway of a library, going towards a room where they're going to hold a training meeting for Antifa in Portland, Oregon. But he's taken a photo, it must be a button cam or something, as he's walking through the hallway, and you get to see the walls of the hallway. And on one of the walls is this poster. I'm sure you all remember this poster. It was infamous, notorious, from January 2011. The CARE, yeah, CARE, that's Hamas, San Francisco chapter put up a poster at its website, and the poster was in red, orange, and white and black. You might remember this. It's a row of houses with a street, and then a shadowy figure in black. And the words on the poster say, build a wall of resistance, don't talk to the FBI. That poster was on the wall of the hallway of the Antifa headquarters for this training program in Oregon. Yeah. There's your linkage between Antifa and Hamas, or CARE, and the Islamic movement. Let me just name some of the groups that are part of Antifa, by any means necessary. The Answer Coalition. A Workers World Party, which is totally Maoist and also pro-Kim Jong-un and the Pyongyang regime in North Korea. Refuse Fascism. It's Going Down. Indivisible. These are all part of Antifa. They're all elements of it. So many more I could get into. I will just give this heads up. Watch what is going to happen in August. In Jacksonville, Florida, as the Republican Party gathers to hold its nominating convention for this year for President Trump, re-nominating convention.
Right.
They will converge. All of these will converge on Jacksonville, Florida. All the red, the black, and the green. Jacksonville, you may know, is right on the I-95 corridor. You know, that's the big north-south interstate corridor that runs from New York all the way down to Florida.
Right.
Well, New England, I guess, all the way down to Florida. Keep an eye on the units that will converge there, because it will be a very much repeat, like what they planned to do, tried to do in Cleveland, Ohio, back at the GOP convention in 2016. But Ohio was smart. They got a lot of help from all over the state and all over the country. Volunteers came to Cleveland to help provide security, and it really went off in a very orderly way, I have to say.
That's kind of nice.
That's what'll happen in Jacksonville.
So pushing back does work. When we come back, maybe
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Up against the top of the hour almost.
Down,
but
and the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire.
See somebody try
and make me.
Anyone who wants to try
and make me
turn into a man. Catch me if you can.
I won't grow up.
I won't grow up. I will never even try.
I will never even try.
I will do what Peter tells me.
I will do what Peter tells me.
And I'll never ask him why.
And I'll never ask him why.
We won't grow up.
We won't grow up.
We will never grow a day.
We will never grow a day.
And if someone tries to make us.
And if someone tries to make us.
There you go, Claire. That's your Soy Boy theme song.
There you go.
Totally.
Claire, I have a question.
Couldn't resist.
We're talking about the convention down in Jacksonville. Do you think if all these folks are going to converge, I'm sure law enforcement is aware of that and should be prepared. Do you think there's a possibility that that law enforcement might stand down and just let it go out of hand?
No, not in Ron DeSantis' state of Florida. That will
okay.
not happen.
All right.
Yeah, because it's...
Bill, that's a good question, because we're seeing, since all of this mess has really begun openly the last 4 or 5 weeks, where in New York City, since they're not being supported by anyone, the street cops, they are standing down. They are pulling back. You are correct.
That's really scary when they do that.
Yeah,
that won't happen
in Jacksonville.
No, it won't happen in Jacksonville. I agree with Claire. It won't happen in Florida, because the governor of Florida is a staunch patriot conservative and believes in the United States, unlike some of these other
law and order. Yeah,
and it's
now, the question, of course, is how overwhelmingly will the operation the opposition come against them? The question will be, what kind of images will be generated
from
24/7 cable
right.
TV?
There you go. That's really the objective. If that's what Claire's
saying. Yeah, that's exactly what I think is going to happen too. That's all you're going to see on TV is the opposition and make it look like the whole country's on fire.
Correct.
You ruined the show again, Bill.
I did. I killed it.
Dang. So what else is flying under the radar from what people are actually being told or being shown? Anything else they should be looking for?
If I could just share that a number of law enforcement officials across the nation, and I have the privilege of sharing information with them, as Claire knows, and back and forth, they're leaving. They've got their 20 years in, they're out. If they've got a couple of 22 years in, they're out. They're not even waiting around. They're getting out because they don't see any support coming from their higher-ups, much less mayor, city councils, whatever. Likewise, what we have are people no longer going into law enforcement, and that's been a problem for some time because, guess why? That these people couldn't read, write, or spell taking the test. I'm not being funny right now. This is something I've worked with or been briefed on numerous times with various law enforcement agencies across the country where they can't even get the recruits. And this was a good 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Well, the big part in California anyway is a lot of the applicants can't pass a drug test.
Well, they can't pass the drug test, they can't pass the written test, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a problem. But now you've got people who are brand new to law enforcement within the first couple of years, and they're starting to get out. And then you have a lot of others who have been in for a long time. They're pulling the pin, as they say,
right.
To get out also. So there's going to be a real problem here. Shortages, there already are, and now it's going to become even more so. That's just another side problem that's growing. That's not being discussed. Really.
And something for people to consider too. I know that I speak with a lot of people who are frustrated that the police are standing down on these things. But if it's a city police department, that is wholly controlled by your city. The city employees of the city. They're not autonomous. Sheriffs are somewhat more autonomous, although they are funded by their counties. But so you don't see sheriffs standing down.
Police officers did not join a police force,
right?
With pitiful salaries and benefits, to get bricks thrown at their heads, and then have their mayors and their prosecutors take them to court when they try to defend themselves.
Right.
That's not what they signed up for.
Right.
They don't want to stand down. They want to defend their communities. But if they're going to be faced with charges of felonies and dragged into court, or if they have to, you sign up for the police force, you sign up for your own liability insurance at the same time. They're just not going
right.
to. They're just not going
right.
to sign up.
Right. And
exactly.
So for all the people who say, well, Congress needs to make the police enforce the laws, and for the folks who didn't do well in civics, it's not good for the people who make the laws to enforce the laws. So that's actually not possible.
Well, we have a very federalist system in this constitutional republic of ours, and that means that there's a great deal of, both responsibility and leeway for the local government, meaning municipalities, cities, towns, counties, which would be the sheriffs, and the states.
Mm-hmm. It makes it almost impossible. So for people that are just, you know, regular folks going about their day, time to step up, get involved in the election process here as we head towards November. Look at who's running in your local area. If your sheriff is up for election, that's a super important office. And if your secretary of state is up, that's who controls your free and fair elections. That's where a lot of the corruption comes in. Same too with your county clerk. So there are a lot of races that I think we don't necessarily watch, and they don't make the news, but they're super important.
Yeah, that's on a closing note here. One of the things we've noticed over the years, the last 2-3 years, Claire, jump in if I'm wrong. I remember you and I gave a briefing on this several years ago, that we were informing elected and law enforcement officials that the big push, a big push, would be to bring Muslim Brotherhood, et cetera, into the local areas. What I mean by that is school boards, city councils, parks and rec, all sorts of boards and commissions that most people don't want to deal with. But what we were noticing was a trend to have Muslim Brotherhood fill these gaps, fill these positions, be appointed or even elected, yes, because they were changing the culture, changing the area in which those boards, commissions, had authority.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you remember where we're just talking about these hideous story hours in the libraries with these creatures to these little tiny kindergartners and preschoolers. Well, if you don't think the local level matters, who allows that? The library board of that municipality
Correct.
Allows that.
Correct.
That's exactly what Lyle is saying, and he's exactly right about that. There is a great deal of importance for these local level elected positions, and it behooves the locals, we, the people at the local level, to pay attention.
Right.
Because he is actually right again. Lyle is right again that the Muslim Brotherhood has had a very extremely granular detailed plan for inserting Brotherhood friendly new young Muslim candidates into the pipelines for all of these kinds of positions, meaning library board, city council, school board is an important one, very important mm-hmm. one, as well as positions, you know, on up through state legislature and so forth. They've had a plan, a blueprint for this for years already, at least a dozen years that I know about.
Yeah, it didn't start with
they go
George
under
Floyd.
Names, CARE, Hamas, is organizing this under groups called M-Gage, E-M as in Muslim, Gage, M-Gage USA, and other groups like that. Jetpack.
Claire and Lyle.
That out online. That is how they operate at the local level. With local level candidates, new young people for those offices.
Yeah, they've been very
thank you
very
so much. All right, we have hit the end here, but I'm sure this is not the last time we will speak.
Thank you very much for coming.
Would each of you send me some of the things that we discussed, and I will post them for folks on the website, even if it's just the website. I'm going to post the ones I've got, but I need more from you.
Right.
Thanks a million.
Okay.
All right.
You are.
One of you can let me know where what the email is for that.
Okay, perfect. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online and send the archive of this show out far and wide. It'll be at wethepeopleradio.us.
And the checks in the mail. Checks in the mail.
Paranoia is in bloom. The PIA transmissions will resume. I try to push, try to keep us all down.